What about franchise coaching? What about coaching for these people once they get in there as to how to do this? You've helped them buy. Now you've got an existing base of customers that knows, likes, and trusts you, and now they're in their franchise. But they probably could use some guidance, right?
So this is where this is turned into a session where Roland helps Eric
with I think it helps people to listen too, right?
It does. So help me with this.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Thanks for tuning in to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. Today, we have Eric Van Horn, the founder and CEO of Franchise Secrets. This episode is a great listen if you want to know more about franchising, but also listen in if you have any kind of business, because you get to be a fly on the wall and hear high-level brainstorming and consulting with Roland. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts and share this episode with your business-minded friends.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of Business Lunch. We are coming to you live from Punta Mita, Mexico at the Four Seasons. And I have my friend Eric Van Horn from Franchise Secrets. Welcome to the show, Eric. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
And you are the founder and CEO of Franchise Secrets.
That's right.
Correct? Nice. So tell us a little bit about first just what it is.
So Franchise Secrets is really just a hub for franchisees and franchisors to get really good information.
So it's franchisesecrets.com?
Franchisesecrets.com. Okay. There's a podcast on that site. Okay. There are ways for people to get in touch with me if they're interested in buying a franchise, or if they're a franchisor wanting to get better, or maybe a franchisor wanting to sell. I'm interested in those as well.
Okay. So for the folks that are listening that don't know what a franchise is, can you give them just a quick rundown on that?
Yes, a lot of people get confused with franchisee and franchisor.
Right.
So a franchisor is the parent company. That is the McDonald's. The McDonald's is the franchisor, and they bring in franchisees to help run the individual units. So an individual owner of McDonald's, wherever you live, is a franchisee of McDonald's.
And the or basically has a system, a logo, a brand, and a system that they allow someone else to buy the right to have a store or the ability to sell that brand on their own. Right?
Yes, and I think one of the points that you made is a system, mm-hmm. and a lot of people get caught up on specific IP or something that's really unique about something. McDonald's, they sell hamburgers.
Right.
They just have a better system, a proven system.
Is it still called the Speedy system?
I don't know what it's called.
Did you see the founder, the McDonald brothers?
It was I saw that.
Watching them, I wondered if it was true that they actually in real life did it out on a tennis court and charted it out and did like all the motions of this is how, because it seems like.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I totally believe that that's what happened.
Oh, yeah.
If it didn't happen, I'm going to continue to believe that that's what happened.
Yes, we'll believe it. So yes, 100%, that is exactly what happened.
Okay. So why would somebody want a franchise? Like, why would they pay somebody else for their system and their brand when they could just do it all themselves?
Someone that's never created something from scratch does not understand the challenge of creating and learning how to do everything from zero.
It's freaking hard.
It's very hard. And franchises aren't right for everybody, but the good ones have that all figured out.
Okay.
And they have franchisees, not only the franchisors that figured out, but franchisees who've been in the system for a long time, and they help the brand get better. So you get just a brain trust of the franchisees and the franchisor who hopefully has figured out how to do things more efficiently and faster and better, and that helps you as the franchisee shortcut success.
Who is the ideal person? Like, who's the ideal person to the customer for a franchise?
I think there's two. One is a person that's in corporate America. Mm-hmm. And then the other one is someone like myself who is a serial entrepreneur. So I'll go to the person that's in corporate America today. They hate their job.
Right.
They wake up on Sunday and know Monday's around the corner. And so they hate Sundays hate Mondays even more.
Right.
And they are running from something, right? And they want freedom. They want lifestyle. They want everything that they don't have. There are semi-absentee franchises where they can keep their day job and get to the point in their franchise where they can quit their day job. That's what they want, and there's certain franchises.
Semi-absentee, you said.
Semi-absentee.
What does that mean exactly?
Means the system's designed for the franchisee to have a manager in place that can run the day-to-day of the business.
Okay.
You know, like as we want, that's how you and I are. We want businesses that have that can be run by a manager.
Yes.
I don't want to be doing everything day-to-day.
Right.
And so that's what these semi-absentee models are made for. They are designed. You should be able to talk to franchisees who are actually having managers in place doing the business, running the business, and taking care of everything, and you're monitoring the business and then, getting involved when you need to.
And then what kind of time commitment would a semi-absentee franchise require from an owner?
Everything varies, right? But in general, I would say 10 to 20 hours a week.
So it's still a significant amount of time, but it's just
depends
not.
Depends how good you are at delegating.
You just don't have a job.
You don't have a job.
Right.
It depends how good you are at delegating or expanding. Once you have three, let's say, stores of whatever it is open, life gets a lot easier because
yeah.
you have a district operational manager in place. You have managers that have been there for a while. Life's a lot easier. But when you first get started, you should expect to be involved and get to know the business so you can make the right decisions as you hire people.
And do you help people with at all of those levels? Like, do you help people that are just kind of wanting to get in, but like say you're Magic Johnson, right? I think he has like 3,000 franchises
yeah,
or something like that. If it's an investor that comes in and says, hey, I'm just looking for a good place to put my money. I'm not sure about real estate. I don't know about other stuff. I like the idea of this brand. I've heard of it. Is it a good thing for them or?
There are, and that's me. That is, you know, the second group of buyers is somebody like me who okay. doesn't want to start something from scratch necessarily. I may not want to buy an existing business, but I want to have a system of doing business mm-hmm. where I'm not training the manager and everything. They
right.
can go to the franchisor and
right.
get trained.
Go to the
and
Hamburger University or whatever.
Hamburger University, exactly. Yeah. And every franchisor should have some type of training like that. And I want to send them to the basic level of training so the franchisor is doing that for them and it's not me as the owner, the founder of the business doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So I like franchises that I can do that. And they have really good training systems for franchisees to put their managers through.
Okay. And so those are two groups of people. And what about the franchisor? Do you work with those guys at all?
So
like somebody that has a business and they're like, hey, I'd like to have a bunch of people paying me to have my systems and stuff.
Yes. And I'm working with those. A partner of mine, Bedros Koulian, who's the founder of Fit Body Bootcamp. He and I are helping franchisors grow and scale their franchise.
Okay.
I've owned six different brands as a franchisee.
What have you owned? What kinds of things?
Liberty Tax.
So Synergy, tax service?
Tax service. Home, as in the home care business.
Okay.
As an area developer in the tax business, which is really a marketing business.
Yeah.
Home care is really a people business, a recruiting talent and then finding them places for an employment. And that's what that business is. And then I've been in the beauty industry with eyelash extensions, with Amazing Lash Studio, the salon business with Solo Salon Suites, which is not in the salon business. It is a real estate play.
Yeah, it's a rental, right?
It's a rental
landlord
play.
Tenant, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and then as a franchisor, I just acquired a roofing company and we are taking that, rebranding it, and that is going to be the first franchise that I'm involved with as a franchisor.
Nice. That's kind of exciting. Are you scared at all from the stories that and we have a friend that's going through some challenges in the franchise? Should that make people nervous about franchising the business that they own, do you think?
Heck yeah. they should be nervous.
Yeah.
They should be asking the right questions, really.
Okay.
So if they ask the right questions, then they find out how nervous they should be or shouldn't be. And a lot of people, it's a passion, it's their baby, it's their passion project. And if that's the case, and you have a really good lifestyle and that business is making a lot of money for you, and you are enjoying this lifestyle that you've always wanted to create, and you thought the next step for me in success is to franchise it, that's an initial first step that a lot of these successful entrepreneurs have. But then they really start to look into it. They talk to somebody like myself and Bedros who have seen it firsthand or experienced it firsthand. And franchising is not just about expanding your business. You are now in the business of helping franchisees become successful.
Not for everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. And you, as a franchisor, you're never going to make everybody happy. You're rarely going to make anybody happy.
Right. That sounds depressing.
It does.
Now I don't want to do it. No.
But I'm excited to be in it. I have a lot of friends that are franchisors and they love it. You just have to know what you're getting into. And if that thing that you know that you're getting into is the right thing for you, then it's a great thing.
Okay. And basically your business now is helping people along all those different paths,
yeah,
right?
I help. Yeah. A lot of what I've done in the past and I still continue to do is help people that are in corporate America find some franchise brands to invest into or buy and own and operate. And then people like myself who own different franchises as a franchisee, wanting to know what's that second brand or that third brand and what are the pitfalls that I should be aware of owning a second or third brand and help them find brands that would match them because I've done it. I've been there.
And what's the average investment? What's the range? Because I know McDonald's is like $1 million or $2 million or something like
yeah.
that. And then
yeah.
you also have to build the store.
Yeah, so Planet Fitnesses
are... And then there are others that are small, right?
Yeah, for an example, in the salon suite business, you know, it was over $1 million each one that we opened up.
Right.
So we would get some kickbacks from the landlord and there's some different things to do to lessen that expense. But, you know, on average, we were putting in $1 million into that business. There were other ones when I was in the tax business, it was $150,000 or less. Mm-hmm. So that's the range that I see. Yeah. $150,000 for some type of service-based company to over $1 million, depending on what's involved.
Right. Okay. And so for your business, which is the business of advising all these people, mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about your business model? Like you've built a hub, obviously you got a podcast.
Yep, I've got this podcast called Franchise Secrets. And what I want to do there is just educate people on franchising. Roland, there are so many people out there pushing franchises for people who should never buy a franchise.
Yeah.
And yet there are people that are really good for franchisors as a franchisee that can't find the right ones.
Right.
And
there's thousands of them.
And most franchises will not make it. You mm-hmm. know, it's just like business.
Right.
But what I want to do is just educate the world of people looking at buying franchises on some real stuff that happens out there so they can make some really good decisions. And I put a lot of content out there on my podcast for that specific reason. That's why people, they find me on the podcast and they realize this guy knows what he's talking about. He actually does what I'm thinking about doing and he's been doing it for years. And I want this guy to help me. So I help a lot of people that come to me through the podcast because they've learned a lot through it. So that's one hub, is helping people find franchises.
So for other people that like you have some experience because you had industry experience and then you were like, hey, I see a problem here. These people, I know people could be helped. Would it make sense these days? How long has the Franchise Secrets been around?
Franchise Secrets, I've been doing this for about 10 years.
Okay. So in the current environment, if somebody has knowledge and experience like you do in some mm-hmm. other business and they're like, hey, I'd like to help people in my industry, let's say it's accounting or law or mm-hmm. you know, fence building, whatever, but they've got this knowledge and experience mm-hmm. and they're going to build an information hub, they decide to turn it into a business. Any particular thoughts, suggestions, advice that you would give them?
Looking at me and what I've done, it's the long-term game. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting out content out there and I'm in it for the long term. And I'm putting out really good information that most people are not putting out mm-hmm. in my little niche in franchising. And I'm happy I'm doing that. So I have this hub of information that I'm putting out. I have not monetized it at all. That's probably coming. Talking to really smart people like you will help me figure that out. But until I do, I've just wanted to put out really good content to see where it goes and who responds and the questions that I get from them. And then that helps me produce more content in that hub.
And you are monetizing it because those people somehow come on a list. They get pixeled when they come to your website.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, so, I do have a pixel on my website.
Yeah.
I've learned a lot of this stuff with your help. And so, yes, I've gotten a lot more sophisticated with that. And I do monetize that. So when someone does come and find me through my content out there, and I do help them find a franchise, I get paid by the franchisor.
Okay.
So I'm compensated by the franchisor if they buy something that I show.
So these people don't have to pay you any. Is there any step along the way where you charge people at all?
There's no charge. I have not charged anybody for anything that I've done. And I won't charge people if they come to me and look for a franchise to buy and I help them that way. Because it's like a real estate agent, right? Or an executive recruiter.
What percentage of people that come to you actually buy a franchise that you start along the path of helping them out?
It used to be probably, and franchises in general are about 100 to 1. 100 people inquire with a franchise brand and they get a franchisee out of that. For me, it's really 1 in 4.
Okay.
When someone comes and
they're 25% qualified. Of the people are buying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my initial thought, and we had never talked about this, but would be that you charge them a fee, a search fee, and credit it towards the franchise when they buy it so that you monetize the 75% that don't turn into money but are taking your time now. Is that something that would work in your business or no?
That might work. Let me throw something out there to you to get your advice on it to see. So I'm in 2 weeks, I'm creating a course on how to buy a franchise.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, you know, about $9.97, if that's the magic number.
That's an unusual price. I don't know how you came up with that.
Again, talking to me really, really smart people come up with these really elaborate pricing schemes. But if I have a course that's a really good course that helps people find a franchise, whether they're using me or not, then they can buy that course and then they do use me and then I would credit that back.
I like that a lot. I think that's great. Yeah, I think it's just I guess it depends on how much time does it take to get to the point where you, like on average, knowing the customers that you've helped, how long does it take that 75% to decide they're not going to do anything?
I help them decide really fast.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. In terms of your time?
Yes. Yeah. Because my time's, you know, extremely valuable to me. And a lot of people don't realize that. You know, they want a second or 5 minutes or 15 minutes of your time.
Right.
And so before someone talks to me, they talk to my assistant. Mm-hmm. And they talk to him, and then he pre-qualifies them.
Okay,
if they're
great.
Qualified, meaning if they are ready to buy something in 60 to 90 days, and they're financially qualified and ready to deploy funds to the franchise, and they're ready to actually make a decision, mm-hmm. if they find the right one, then I'll talk to them. Okay. And I'll have a 30-minute conversation with them. It's during that time I decide, one, if I like them, or they get to decide if they like me.
Do you not take people that you don't like?
100%.
I love it.
If they're going to be difficult, and they might not even be a difficult person, but if they're just going to be difficult in the process, mm-hmm. I just won't do it. If they have unrealistic expectations, then I won't help them. I'll help them, but I'll help them in a different way through the podcast or different things.
Yeah.
But
this probably isn't right for you right now. You know, definitely check out all the information I've got. That's a smooth path.
I just had someone that reached out to me 3 months ago, timing wasn't right. And I was very honest with him. He wrote me a long email today. He said, I know timing's not right, but I really want to look. And I had my assistant have him jump through some hoops to see if timing might be right, but I'm not going to mess with that until he's ready. So that's why I have a 1 in 4 closing rate, because I'm qualifying the right people. And then through the process, some people discovered the timing's really not right for mm-hmm. them. And I love helping people like that. I had someone that is on the plane to Europe and Asia all the time. And he was looking at buying a semi-absentee fitness business. And I could tell he was just so nervous. And I don't want someone to get into a business that's wrong for them. I'm not perfect, but I don't want them to, if I can shed some light and point out some things to them that may make them say, no, I want to do that. And so I said, how would you feel if you're on the plane to Asia trying to get some sleep and your manager quits mm-hmm. and you don't have a backup because it's your first location? Like, what would you do? And he's like, Eric, I couldn't handle that. And I'm like, okay, there's your answer. I didn't even have to tell him there's your answer.
Right.
And 6 months later, Roland, he came back. He's like, Eric, I appreciate that. It's like, I'm in a different place now. I want to start looking.
Nice.
So, but I do that a lot. I help them decide right away if it's not right for them. And then I help them those ways as well, because at the end of the day, they need to find something that's really good for them at this point in their life.
Do you help people get financing?
I have a lot of connections with different companies that do the financing. So yes, there's some that are franchise specific. There's some that are a little bit unique out there. I'll just throw a name out there, Apple Pie Capital.
Okay.
They do SBA loans and some different things, but they basically raise private capital. I'm not saying this 100% correct, but basically raise private capital and invest into higher risk loans.
Okay.
And so the underwriting is different on those. So depending on the brand, and they have certain criteria for their brands, but you know, I've used them when we were in the salon business and the SBA stopped funding the salon business that we were in because it was too passive for them. We went to Apple Pie Capital and they helped us. So there's a lot of people are doing 401k rollovers and SBA loans, but that's a good point too, because if a lot of people think, I have a relationship with my local banker, that's their first phone call.
Right.
And then they have a great friendship, a great relationship with that banker, but that banker doesn't know franchising and doesn't know the brand.
Right.
And I think it's really important a lot of times for the franchisor and the bank to have a relationship. And that helps people get financing a little bit easier than their local bank.
Yeah. Are there other services that offer like affiliate things that provide monetization for you in addition to somebody closing?
If I was a little bit smarter, I'd probably know the answer to that.
Okay.
But I have not I have not run into that yet.
So I ask because, like, in the real estate world, like, say we have a brokerage, mm-hmm. and the brokerage makes money from the brokers and from the people that buy, but also we have a title company, an escrow company, a credit service, you know, a staging company, all these other things, because those are all ancillary services that are, you know, that our customer, our core customer who's buying a home would need. Are there a bunch of other services that a franchisee
financing
would need?
Yeah, financing is one of those. Not all lenders, some lenders give referral fees. So that's an affiliate, right? So they will give a fee. And I have to tell you, like, a lot of times I just tell them, take it off of the customer's bill.
Yeah, which is nice.
Yeah, and the customer never even knows that. Half the time. I should probably tell them.
You should tell them.
I should. Yeah. Or take it and buy them something really nice.
Yeah, and if you take it, you have to tell them, but you for sure, if you're giving, if you're saying, look, hey, part of the deal here is, right? Yeah.
So I see that a lot, but that's, and there's only certain lenders that do that.
Yep.
But that's the only thing that I've seen out there.
What about franchise coaching? What about coaching for these people once they get in there as to how to do this? Because you've helped them buy. Now you've got an existing base of customers that knows, likes, and trusts you, and now they're in their franchise. But they probably could use some guidance, right?
So this is where this is turning into a session where Roland helps Eric with his next
I think it helps people to listen too, right?
It does. So help me with this. I've been putting out content for this exact same thing. I started a Facebook group for franchisees only. Mm-hmm. And in that group, I've been giving them some really good insight, information on how to grow and scale and go from one unit to two units and the challenges and how to save, you know, heartache. And I've been putting a lot of content out there. This morning, I got an email or text message from somebody. He's like, Eric, I know the guy. He's like, I need help going from one store to two stores to three stores. Right. And here are all of the challenges. And the challenges that he laid out are the challenges that I had already looked at and identified as I've gone through myself and these people need. So one of the things that I've been working on in the Facebook group is just getting a community of franchisees together, because it's really fragmented out there. All these franchisees are fragmented, but they need help in things that I've done over and over for the last almost 20 years.
Right.
And so I'm looking at holding an event in Nashville this summer where I can bring in some really good franchisees and really smart people along with myself and help some of these franchisees with their biggest challenges and whatever they are. And out of that, if there makes sense to do some type of group coaching or helping them with a mastermind type setting, I want to be able to do that.
Both of those things would be, because they're completely different. One more, you can do group coaching or solo coaching or mastermind, but mastermind and one of those two forms of coaching to me goes hand in hand.
I don't think I would want to do one-on-one coaching because that just is more of a time suck and less leverage for me. And group coaching sounds fun and enjoyable, and I could you know, I would enjoy that.
Would you spend 4 hours with somebody one-on-one for $5,000?
I might.
You can say yes or no. Would you spend it for $10,000?
Yes.
Okay. Would you do it? Okay. So 10. So then there's the number.
There's my
right?
number.
Yeah. So and that might or might not be the right number because it's probably worth a lot more than that to them. 100%. Right?
Oh yeah.
But that would be something I would then also add, is I would say that then your menu of services for your event that would be available is, hey, look, I do a group coaching thing. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do one-on-one, so I'm not going to do that. Now, you can train. Once you go through it's like do things that won't scale to get things that scale. Mm-hmm. After you go through the first training program, group-wise or individually, you can have somebody shadow you from your company that then is learning how to do it. Now, they're not you, but you're the most expensive person they would ever get to do it. So that's appropriate for the thing that scales. But also for you to help them with the business, you know, and maybe it's, you know, I do half day for $18,000, right? So maybe, and that's 4 hours. Will I spend 4 hours with somebody for $18,000? Not to make money. I'll do it because that hopefully leads to, I can be an advisor, I get a piece of the company or something like that. So for you, same thing. I would say if right now it's 10, it's 10. If it's 15, it's 15. If it's 25, it's 25. Doesn't matter, you know, but there should be some, unless you're completely full and don't want to do it, to me, there should be some one-on-one access that's positioned higher, even if it's just to give them a contrast of that versus, you know, hey, if you want Eric, it's $25,000 for the day, right? But fortunately, Eric is available for group coaching, you know, where we do once a week or once every other week or whatever, and it's, you know, $2,000 a month or something like that, right? Because I think that you could provide tremendous value to these people if you would do that. And then the mastermind gives them the opportunity to come together, like War Room where we are right now, right? And share specific franchisee information. And then you could, you know, as you grow it, you'd have the budget to bring in somebody like a Magic Johnson or somebody that would attract other people. And then you've got people that own lots of franchises. That'd be my thinking on it.
I like that. And I like the fact of just anchoring the group coaching, and it shows them the value in that, because my time is worth whatever I say.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, so there is a point when I would say, no, I'm not going to do this.
Right.
And yes, I am. And right now that price is $10,000 for 4 hours. I would do that.
Yeah.
If it's much less than that, I would probably not want to do it.
Right.
Most of the time.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's a perfect, to me, that's a perfect way to come up with that, and then try it.
Yeah.
Right. And then when you get full at 10, it's 15, right? I mean, that's how it is. And I was talking to Pete Vargas about this other day. You know, he does this for speakers, and we were talking, I said, you know, he said, how many would you want to do? And I said, I set my goal, my cap for 2020. I don't want to do more than 24 of those, even though it's 4 hours, you know, that's really good pay, but I don't want to, it's important to me that I'm not selling my time ultimately. And I'm doing that, as I said, like that's lead flow for me to give value to show people what I can do, which I would say for you, then what would the step up be from that 10K or whatever they're spending, right? Where is the opportunity? Is there an opportunity then for you to be an advisor to their franchise thing, or to be an investor in their multi-franchise operation, right?
Yes.
So then you've got coaching, group coaching, individual consulting, half day, full day, event, and ownership / advisor. So that gives you a pretty big menu of things, right?
I like that. Yeah, and there's already been deal flow coming in at the franchisee levels, giving me franchisor deal flow, and franchisor deal flow coming in from the franchisor mastermind that Bedros and I are doing.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I see opportunity in, there's a lot of people, goes back to the first part of the conversation, a lot of people get into franchising as a franchisor, and they're at 10 or 20 or 30 units. Like, I don't want to be doing this anymore.
Right.
And I've talked to them. Their franchisees are profitable. They're very profitable in their corporate stores, but this is not what they wanted.
Yeah.
And they have said, we want somebody that has franchising experience to come in and acquire most or all of this company.
Right.
And it's pretty attractive. And one of the things I've thought about, I can only do so many of those. My time's limited, but they need money as well. And different investment groups are different. Franchisors need money, and I've thought about doing, and I've got deal flow, a lot of deal flow, bringing in some type of capital, a fund to invest in franchisors.
Also acting as a broker, I would think, to help them, because you have this swath of people that you're building. Well, some of them are going to be in acquisition mode, and some of them are going to be in disposition mode. So being the matchmaker that says, you know, Mary owns 15 of these franchises and is like, hey, I never thought it was going to be this much work. But Joe owns 150 of these franchises and says, man, if I could pick up 15 at a time that are already going, I like that. You put those two people together and you charge Mary a brokerage fee or charge Joe a consulting fee.
Yep.
That to me would be good too. And then the other thing that occurred to me would be recruiting. Because if you've got people who are moving from one franchise to two or three or five or seven and they need a district manager, they need infrastructure in their companies. So for you to be able to place, to do a job placement thing, when they come to you and they go, hey, Eric, who do I get to do this? No problem. We'll take care of the whole thing for you. It's job placement. You just do it like a recruiter. We take, you know, 30% of the first year's salary or whatever. That'd be another pretty significant opportunity for you that would be great value for your people, I would think.
I've had that thought cross my mind because I'm doing that for free for people.
Yeah,
right,
you shouldn't
now
do it for free.
Shouldn't, because they don't, there's no value attached to it.
No, and then they don't have ownership of it, and you want them to participate in the process in a meaningful way.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of district managers, people out there that are needing that. And at the franchisor level, there are franchisors that have a really difficult time finding franchise business coaches, FBCs, business coaches, and people that are really good at that, helping franchisees implement the system. And I talk to franchisors and they just have a really hard time doing that, finding the right person, because everyone's resume looks great from a great brand, but they were horrible at it. I know people that are really good at that. Right now, people are in my head with that are looking for jobs, but I don't have the time to do all this for free. So I just let the two parties just have
so
not connected.
To me, like, you could also create then a wonderful thing, because I think the franchisor side of the business is going to be more profitable for you ultimately than the other. But that would then give you an opportunity to create a certified FBC program. So you could certify people as having the minimum competence that the franchisors need, and then you start providing those people there, and now you've got an accreditation company as well. And then you've got all of the coaching and masterminding and everything on both sides, franchisor and franchisee. So I've always wanted to do a franchisor mastermind.
Yes.
I think it'd be great. They've got tons of money. I'd like to own parts of those companies.
Yep.
That'd be an opportunity that would be available to you there. And then you're providing them value. And then the FBCs, the certified, the CFBCs, become a lead gen for you to get in your foot in the door of all these franchises, right? Franchisors.
Yes. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I'd like the certified aspect of that. And that's a really important part of it. And that's, I mean, I've had experience in that. I've worked with them and I've had them coach me. I've had the best ones. I've had the worst ones. A lot more worse ones out there than best ones.
The other thing that occurs to me too would be, just like you've got certified pre-owned Lexuses and things like that, would be if you had the ability to certify for your buyers, if you're acting as a broker and Mary's got the three franchises and she's tired of them now, for you to be able to take the people that are coming to you looking for the franchise and say, hey, I've got somebody that already has one and I've run them through and they are certified, they're franchise secret certified, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a pre-owned franchise that then they've met the 72 point checklist of things they need. I'm not, you know, it's, franchises are great, but it's still not easy.
No.
Right? There's still a lot of work. So if you want to buy a pre-existing franchise that's already going, we'll take you through the process. We've already run them through. We've already vetted them. And now you get a commission from Mary when you help her transition to, you know, Bob, who's looking now to buy something. And Bob doesn't have to buy a franchise cold.
Yes.
He's got one that's already going.
Yes.
Seems like there's actually quite a few.
Yeah. There's I mean, that's my database is full of those.
Right.
I've probably helped more people than anybody get into franchises.
Yeah.
And
then you tell Mary, look, if you're going to sell this, you need to run through, you know, Eric's 72-point checklist thing to do that. We'll run you through that. It costs X $1,000 to do that. And now you've got...
That makes a lot of
sense. And you can even say, and I'll credit it towards you. You know, I'll credit it when Bob buys. You know, my commission's 10% or whatever it is. And I'll knock that amount off of that.
I like that. The other thing that I've thought about is a franchise... The best franchises that I've been a part of have a really good network of top performers, the top 10%. And the franchisor is really good at helping them get together, do mastermind. It was a mastermind before I knew masterminds like this existed.
Right, right.
But franchisors don't take the time. They don't have they don't know what a value that is.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to make it happen. So I was wondering,
mastermind as a service.
Yeah. Yes, I like it.
Is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't going to say that, but I didn't even think about mastermind as a, well, I didn't know that term, but that's what I was saying.
I just thought of it. So.
But did you trademark it?
My son's doing it. But yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. It's like, what are all of the things that I can do that will add value? Because all the things we talked about, it's like, those aren't, let me just think of ways to make money. Those are, I mean, it started that way, but,
yeah.
But they add real value, right? And so I think because then you're facilitating you're helping really stop lawsuits against franchisors by helping them have their franchisees be happy by providing services that they ought to take. And I bet you they could take their co-op dollars that they get from the royalty, you know, from their royalty that they have to spend on something that helps the franchisees, and probably direct some of that your way to pay for that.
Yeah,
so you could actually be a free to them service that is coming from existing budget that already exists without having to be something new, and you'd be adding immense value to them.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's probably the thing that moved the needle the most for me when I was first getting started in franchising is a group like that. And just a lot of franchisors don't do it. And that's a way for them to be able to do it without having to come out of pocket for it. Brilliant.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I like it. So is there anything that I didn't ask you that you think I should have that would be really important and helpful to people that are kind of looking, exploring the franchise world?
Gosh, you did such a great job of diving into it and helping me. Something that you may not have asked, I think you hit it at the end. It's not easy. Business isn't easy.
Right.
So many people out there are making it sound so easy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I like to do is just like give people a realistic expectation of what it is, and it's work. But Roland, the franchising changed my life like 18 years ago when I bought my first one. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a wild ride ever since. And I can't believe I am where I am, being a guy that lives in small town in South Dakota, being able to do a lot of really cool things and help people along the way. But I remember early on, it was a lot of hard work, but I created those systems, and even systems beyond what the franchisor does. And I think this is probably the thing that most people don't understand as a successful franchisee. Franchisors cater to the middle 60% of franchisees. They're trying to either help the bottom performers get a little bit better or help them exit. They're focused on the middle of the pack, and the top franchisors kind of get ignored.
Okay.
And so just having that understanding of that's the way it is and that's the way it will probably always be, you need to get around other really smart franchisees to really elevate and have more success in your current business.
That's why they should join the Franchise Secrets soon to be announced mastermind.
That's right.
For people that want to get a hold of you, best ways are
Podcast is called Franchise Secrets. That's probably the best way to go look at a lot of my content. Follow me on Facebook, Franchise Secrets, and just Franchise Secrets. Search for it and you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Roland. My pleasure.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.